Turn in your Bibles, Haggai chapter 2. Today we'll be tracking in the prophetic what is now happening, what is to come. Gonna have to have ears to hear. Some of you have maybe heard some of these things. Some of you it might be new. Amen. All right. So I wanna just share a little bit where we are, what's next, what's really next, what's awesomely next. We're in the middle now of a massive transition of biblical. It's going to be biblical. It's already begun. The church, really the governmentally church is already moving forward. The ecclesia is about to move forward in an unprecedented way. I was on X, which is really the new conservative social media. It's incredible what's going on there. I commented on one of Lance Wallnose because he said the Cyrus generation. He didn't say generation. He goes, the Cyrus leaders are coming. So I kind of threw some of my stuff up. He responded to me, actually, and he has like thousands. So I told him some things. I shared a little bit about how biblically the Cyrus generation was a prophetic generation that, and he saw Trump as the Cyrus, and he knew the Cyrus leaders are coming. But I said, all these prophecies have to be fulfilled because we are the mirror, the true mirror. That generation did not receive the prophecies that we are going to receive. He goes, oh yeah, I see that now. He goes, that whole generation was the forerunner generation, but now we're the true generation. And so he was responding to some of that. I got to seeing some things. This particular revelation I'm going to share today, the Lord gave me actually before ministry. That was 30 years ago. I've been camping on this one. So to see these things in formation right now are just absolutely incredible. And they bring you up to date of what's happening. When Trump came into office, regardless of your politics, there's prophetic implications right now that go beyond our political view. And it's all about what heaven's doing. When Trump came into office as the 45th president, most of the Christian leaders saw him as Isaiah 45 or the Cyrus. To give you some background of what happened there, Cyrus, God called him to really overthrow Babylon. Nobody could have done that in that day. They all said it's impossible. So where impossible starts with man, that's where God starts. When it's impossible with man, that's where God starts. And he said, I will overthrow the gates of Babylon. They used to run chariots on the top of the walls, chariot races. That's how thick the walls were. Nobody even dreamed Babylon could be taken down. And Cyrus came in and he broke the gates of brass, shattered the bars of iron. He took them down. And it was because the children of Israel were in Babylon, and they were in there for 70 years, and God had promised he was going to bring them out at the 70th year and to go rebuild the temple. And all the prophecies that came from Haggai, Zechariah, were for that generation that came out. So that generation came out to receive these prophecies, but they didn't get fulfilled. They didn't get fulfilled because it was for another generation. In fact, he said the glory of the latter-day house would be greater than Solomon's. And the men, the old men, wept. The ones that actually outlived 70 years, because they saw even the former day. And they wept and said, this looks nothing like Solomon's temple. This looks nothing like it. But there's a glory that's coming. So those prophecies weren't fulfilled, but they will be fulfilled. And you happen to be the generation that are going to be fulfilled in. So when Trump did not finish what he started as Isaiah 45, and this is what Lance Wannoe pointed out, he goes, he's going to finish it as 47 and begin the revival of Ezekiel 47. I'm going, yes! Say yes! If you don't know what's in Ezekiel 47, those are the waters in the end times that come out of the sanctuary. And they come out past the ankles. And they go out past the knees, past the loins, and the waters go overhead. These are heavenly waters. It so happens that they break out of the right side of the altar. Everything's prophetic. They break out from the right hand or the south side. That's the right hand of God. These waters are coming out of the right hand of God cornerstone. They're coming out from heaven. These waters, what you're about to see, you have not seen in the earth. There's a whole movement that's not going to come with what is. It's coming from the realm of what we consider what is to come. But in heaven, it's all done. You've already been crowned in heaven. You've been given a seat at his throne in heaven. You were raised together, made to sit together. Not going to be your positionally. This has already happened. And so all of this is coming from a finished realm. And these waters came out, Ezekiel 47, to the place, the waters that go over our head. What is that? That's baptism. So whatever these waters is, there's a full baptism coming. And the Bible says they broke into the Dead Sea, and everything that was dead would live. And they talked about this huge harvest would come. They would stand on the shores of Englium, and they would cast their nets, and fish from every nation would come. There's a harvest like no other harvest is coming in this age. And it says trees would form, trees of life. I mean, people are going to become trees of life in this last hour. The manifested glory of God will overtake your body. Overtake what belongs to Adam is now belongs to Christ. You'll see the glory, the manifested glory won't be on a temple of stone. It's going to be on a living stone. But God will reveal his glory again in the last days. But the Bible said half of those waters, and this is the one I want to share today, half will go out to the Dead Sea, but Zechariah 14, one of the great prophecies, half of them will go to the Great Sea. Say the Great Sea. Now the Great Sea was the Mediterranean Sea or the Sea of Commerce. All commerce was done in the Mediterranean. I mean, it flowed into the Nile. That's where Rome was fed. All the ships of the sea, the commerce, the Great Sea of Commerce or wealth was done there at the Mediterranean. In the Bible, Isaiah says, the wealth of the seas will be converted to thee. They that go down to the seas and ship, they'll do business in great waters. All this is the imagery of what God wants to do. Not only will the living water swallow up death, you're going to see the dead raised at an unprecedented level. You're going to see these waters come into the Dead Sea. And the Bible says everything that's dead will live. We will experience a level of resurrection life in the earth, unprecedented, because we're giving and bearing the witness of the resurrected King is returning. And he's proceeding that return with a witness of resurrection. So in the early church, they gave witness to his actual raising from the dead. We're going to give witness not only the raising of the dead, but the glory of the resurrection that every one of us are going to enter into. Your body's going to be changed in a moment's time. In a second's time, this mortal will put on immortality, and suddenly where there's skin, but life will start radiating from you. Life's going to radiate from your emotions, from your mind, your heart. Your body will be turned back into the time of life or move forward into the day of resurrection. Everybody will bear youth. All sickness, all infirmity will be no more, but life will radiate from you for all eternity. That's a little bit more than fire insurance. I'm saved by grace. You're saved into a day, and all this, if you can believe it or not, is the glory within. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does that mean? It's not just the hope of eternity. It's the hope of glory. The Christ in you, when Romans 8 said the glory would be revealed from within, the resurrection power is already inside you. The resurrected body's inside you. The resurrected emotions are inside you. It's all in a seed of Christ. And God swore that he would multiply that seed in every nation. He swore because he sware no greater. He would multiply. He's going to multiply Christ in you, out of you. It's going to break out into resurrection. Our generation will reveal that day like no other generation did. And so God's going to start lighting his people up in this day. That's actually coming next. So what was happening? When Trump came into Babylon as the 45th, he didn't fulfill his mission. He will fulfill it as 47 because he has to break the gates of Babylon. The whole Babylonian system, the whole institutional Babylon, the financial Babylon, the Babylon that got into our education, the Babylon that got into the culture, all that's that woman of wickedness of Romans, of Revelation 18, 19, that you could see all that transgender, that whole thing was coming out of the Babylonian agenda. You're talking about finances, you're talking about everything. I mean, they want to control every part of society. They want to control what you eat. They want to control everything. We didn't see it because we saw it in COVID, what they wanted to do, but they wanted more than that. We're not a communist nation, though the communism was trying to take over our nation. I mean, in certain countries, you just don't, in Great Britain right now, you can't even speak against illegal immigrants. They will fine you and put you in jail for calling somebody illegal. It's getting very bad over there. But it's going to get very lit up here. And we were praying this morning. Catherine was with us, and she, CFO of a very large company. This company happens to be, the leaders are very liberal. And it's very interesting because she said something to me. They were having a meeting, and she didn't want to say who was there, but I could tell some famous politician was in the meeting. He'd gone to this meeting, and they were telling her about the meeting. The meeting was in L.A., and there were some very big wig people, and they said, get ready, the storm is coming. So it's very interesting that they see it as a storm and we see it as glory. So if you see a storm coming, you might be on the wrong side of the equation. Because Haggai chapter 2, where I wanted you to start, it says, once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry land, and the treasures of all nations will come into my house. And the glory of the latter-day house will be greater than the former. In this place I will give prosperity and peace. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. So when you hear the shaking of the nations, judgment must begin. Judgment's not a bad thing if you're on the right side. If you're on the wrong side of the equation, there is going to be a shaking. If you're on the wrong side, you see it as a storm. If you're on the right side, you see it as glory. Like Carl goes, never in a time Trump's done more in 1 month, and he's not even president yet, for the spirit that's come over this country than Biden did in 4 years, because you could feel patriotism coming back. It's in the air because God is shattering, and they're not even office yet. You're going to see yokes being shattered across us. Stuff that, agendas that were leveled against you, you didn't even know was coming. You're going to see education be uprooted and overturned. Already in Oklahoma, they're bringing the Bible back into schools. Can you believe it? Bible in the school? It's taught in school. You know, the Babylon agenda wanted transgender books that no kid should be looking at in your school system. They want drag shows in your school system. God's returning to the nation. Now you're going to see something that we haven't seen in our generation. I believe God's going to upend the entire financial system. That's not a bad thing. I think he's going to move it. I think he's going to eradicate the debt over this nation. $35 trillion in debt. It's going to be... Phew. How can that be? There are the geniuses of God is going to do this. And I believe he's going to turn things to silver and gold because he said the silver is mine, the gold is mine. So you need to understand something. When the people came out from Babylon, this has happened yet. The people in Babylon, the church, that's us, say the church, the ecclesia. We haven't come out yet, but Trump and Cyrus people, they've come in. I was watching them. You can watch my next, I mean, almost every night they're having people coming in Mar-a-Lago. That's his headquarters. I mean, that's the new Washington DC right there. And when they were in there, all these people, they're all rejoicing. I'm like, Lord, they're rejoicing. And we've been sitting on this revelation. I was complaining to God. We've been sitting on this revelation was to come and they're rejoicing. I said, why are we there? Cause they're all happy. I mean, it's awesome when you broke through. He said, that's Cyrus. And that's Cyrus Company. He goes, rejoice with them. Because without Cyrus, you can't come out. Because what I'm doing at every level, governmentally. I'm going to do it at the financial level, the social level. I'm going to do it at every level. Health, healing, they're actually going to start farming our own foods again. And they're going to upend all the foul ingredients they've been putting in our foods. We're going to see a renaissance across the board. The people, if you're paying attention to who he's putting in, everything's America first. If you watch who he's putting in, the FCC, the financial people he's putting in, if you see what he's doing, what God is doing, you're about to see a total renaissance. So when Cyrus came in, the gates were broken. They left after 70 years of captivity. And they went back to rebuild the temple, and that's the prophecies where the glory of God. That's the prophecy. Once again, I shake the heavens and the earth to see it. That's the prophecy. And the treasures of all nations will come into my house. God's people are going to be enriched in this hour. You're talking about saints that had no business being in high places suddenly being enriched with wealth unimaginably because the saints of God are the most generous people in the earth. Most financial people are not super generous because all they want to do is keep multiplying their money. That's all they want to do is go stick it in, multiply, multiply. But there's no end to the multiplication. All they want to do is just keep multiplying. But the saints of God, like Tammy, she'd give you I mean, she'd give everything away if she could, because she's just like that. They're so generous. God's going to put the wealth in the generous hands. The go will flow out of you like a river. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of blessing. God is positioning his people all over for the greatest wealth transference ever. This is a good thing. Say a good thing. Because suddenly the wealth of nations will get into the hands of the generous. And it's going to move into communities. It's going to move into nations. The stuff that we spend money on a dinner could pay somebody's entire salary in certain nations. But there's no shortage to wealth. It's just been in the wrong hands. The whole system we live in was designed to squelch everything but debt. Designed everything you turn around, give it to you now, make you pay for it the rest of your life. They're going to take interest rates, by the way. But all of this, and they've already constructed a plan that all interest rates are going to go to like 10-12% max. There's going to be a lot of upset people as God starts invading. Because God's going to turn, you're going to watch this, the whole thing's going to get upended. The whole thing, and everything you see is good. Say ultimately good. Good. Once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. And the treasure, say the treasures of all nations will come into my house. I want to share today what he's actually going to shake. What God's really after. Amen. I want you to go to Ezekiel 26. This revelation I've been sitting on so long, 30 something years. And it is more alive today than it was 30 years ago. Because we are in the time all this is about to happen. I'm going to give you a little glimpse of what's next. What God's going to do. The liberation that's coming. Ezekiel 26. I got to share a little bit about this so you'll know. Verse 2. Son of man, because Tyre has said against Jerusalem, aha, she is broken. That was the gates of the people. She's turned unto me and I shall be replenished. She is now laid waste. So this whole chapter is about a prophecy that there's a boasting going on, pride. Now the gates of Jerusalem have been broken. What that was speaking of was Solomon's day. Solomon and David did something no other generation did. When God called David, he was given a sword to wield against mammon. He put all mammon down in his day. Even Solomon attested to it. He said, there's neither adversary or evil occurrence anywhere in my kingdom. How would you like to be given that? His dad did all the war. His dad won every battle and he handed everything to him on a silver platter. Gave him a massive offering, gave him all the plans of the temple. David did all that. God said, you can't build it, David. You're a man of war, but your son's going to build it. And there was such a time in history in Solomon's time that all the people came to the earth that came to hear his wisdom. Kings, all the kings of the earth came too. We got a glimpse of what was happening to kings and people alike when the Queen of Sheba came in. She brought, to my knowledge of what I studied, something like a $60 million offering. In those days, you brought gifts to the king. Because Solomon, not only was the glory of God on Jerusalem, it was the marketplace of all nations. If you wanted to trade in the world, you need to come see Solomon because he owned the trade. God put him on the top. All the trade in the earth was done out of Jerusalem. It was the trading. It was the Mecca. It was like our New York Stock Exchange. It was the Wall Street. I mean, all of it was done from the glory of God. Isn't that amazing? And so all the kings and queens would come not to hear his wisdom, not just, but also partake. She brought a $60 million offering. Now, if you're giving something like $60 million away, money doesn't move you. But when she saw Solomon in the glory of God, in the administration of his government, and his cupbearers, and the way he ascended into the house of God. He literally ascended in front of everybody. He walked up into the glory and disappeared in front of everybody. He just walked right up into the glory, and all you could see was glory. They all saw that visibly. She says, when I saw the glory and I saw his ascent into the house, she goes, I had no more spirit. She lost it. I mean, how many of you ever been undone by God? That was what happened to her. She was converted right there. Most of the kings were converted. Most of the people. And Solomon said, if someone, the stranger or the lost, comes to this house, he said, Father, if they pray in this house, answer their prayer that they may know you're the living God. It was a Mecca for answered prayer. They could pray outside of that gate, nothing would happen. All they had to do is step into that open heaven, and they didn't have to know God. They would pray, and they were encouraged to pray. And when they come in, God would answer their prayer, and they didn't even know God. How do you like that? What if this place becomes a Mecca for answered prayer? I mean, you pray 1 mile down the street, nothing happens. You come up into the glory zone, and suddenly God's answering your prayer. It's not that God doesn't answer everybody's prayer. It's just there's certain open heaven. Open heavens can get something down just like that. Amen. It was just amazing. And so strangers were being converted. The wealth was so incredible in Solomon's day. The Bible says the silver was accounted as nothing. There was so much of it. How'd you like to see a stone of silver on the side of the road and nobody would pick it up? That was the extreme extravagance of that era. They called it the eighth wonder of the world. It was just amazing. The Illinois Society of Architects, I did all this study. It took 3 months of one whole summer and studied all this out. It was just amazing. Back then, this was back in the 90s, I studied Solomon's. I went down, I'd measure a quart of oil. I'd go down the store and I'd look, okay, quart of oil, calculate. And I did all these calculations. This is really cool. And I came to find out that Solomon back in 1995, modern day equivalency, he was getting about $30,000 a day just is his roller budget for his table. I mean, he did have like 300 wives, 700 concubines. I mean, all of that was fed from the table, provided everybody. $30,000 a day. Just incredible. The Illinois Society of Architects did a study in 1925. These architects got together and studied this thing out. Probably a lot more brilliant than I am. And they equated all the temple furnishing, jewels, golds, what it cost to hire 187,000 people to build the temple. All the cost involved. And they said during that time, it would be watch this. This is 1925. They published it. It was worth $187 billion, 1925. So when you look at $35 trillion in debt, that's nothing compared, because he said the glory would be greater than Solomon's day. Greater than 100. Everyone say, I'll take some of that 187. Greater. You're starting to see trillionaires, people becoming wealthier than whole nations. Individuals becoming wealthier than whole nations. Some of the lead, like Elon Musk, he's becoming wealthier than whole nations. But this guy's turning around for the good. The innovations on him is what it's going to look like for the seven spirits of God to come on the church. This man is like firing rockets. He's doing it what NASA can't do. He's already bypassed NASA. You know he's about to buy MSNBC. He's about to turn up. The whole thing is the voice of the people. You're going to hear the true voice that's not drowned out by people in authority. When you have people in authority that own all the media, they only want you to hear what they want you to hear. It doesn't actually represent the voice of people. You're going to see truth coming out. They're already going to open the gate. Stuff has been suppressed. That every time it comes out, conspiracy, conspiracy, conspiracy. You're going to find out a lot of the conspiracy stuff was actually true. They're probably going to slow roll some of this stuff because I don't think people can handle what's actually been done in high places. They're going to have to slow roll for people to go, oh my God, when you wake up and find out just how much has been suppressed, this stuff's coming out. It's coming through social media, but it's going to start coming through mainstream. God's going to see to it. Truth is going to override darkness in every area. You're going to see communications, a revival in news and communication. Every strata of society will be affected by what is to come. Our day is come too. God has a gold mine in His church. He has a glory that's going to be revealed from His people. What people consider insignificant. When you look at legal minds that people that have been in, not everybody, but a lot of the East Coast universities, the way they teach, it produces such a proud mindset. And that mindset looks down upon people. If you don't have this education, you're nothing. If you weren't degreed here, you're nothing. And it's all corrupt. But God is going to take the weak things, say the weak things. I qualify. How many qualifies? And He's going to set His glory on His people. The seven spirits of God is coming down upon His people. And He's going to grant us divine intelligence like the world has not seen. Innovation like the world's, witty inventions like the world's not seen. And suddenly the glory of God's going to rise from people that weren't supposed to do anything. Suddenly they're doing everything. He's already awakened His people governmentally. He needed to do that to get Cyrus in. He's about to awaken them all. The whole church is going to be awakened. There are gifts and talents hidden within His church that needs the seven spirits of God to draw the waters out. Say, draw the waters out. And when the living waters are drawn out, woo! All of this, the stage has been set. We started preaching about 5 years ago. The 70 years were fulfilled. Say 70 years. We were sitting on promises. And suddenly, well, the first one got fulfilled with Trump. How many of you know all about that? We had the night of May 14th. We were here May 13th that night. We were holding the crown up. We had a glory. We were all dressed in suits. Because we knew Trump was moving the embassy. It was prophetic. From Tel Aviv to Jerusalem on the 70-year anniversary to the day of Israel becoming a nation, 1948. And then the Sanhedrin priesthood, the same ones that crucified the Lord, they called the Nasat Sanhedrin. They produced the coin, and we had the coin. Oh, we've seen it. You can put it up there, Chris, if you can find the coin. With Trump, with Cyrus, said, we knew something big was happening. That was 5 years ago, but we knew 70 years had been fulfilled. What does that mean? Why is that important? Because it was a marker in time to tell us the time is now. The prophetic generations coming out from Babylon. All the prophecies of Isaiah, Haggai, Zechariah, the crowning of the church is at hand. Zechariah takes Joshua the high priest. He puts him on his throne and they take wealth out of Babylon. There's a Babylonian wealth transference coming. Woo! Ever heard of the word dinar? Well, you better pay attention. They took wealth out of Babylon, forged the crown. Say, forged the crown. And they put it on Joshua's head. He said, you are symbolic. Men wondered that. Symbolic of things to come. A whole church will be crowned in the end time. Woo! Say, woo! Church Philadelphia will be born in a single day. A crown was given. Say, a crown was given. Who gave the crown? By Him who had the key. To what? The house of David. In Acts chapter 1, He was taking the house up. Will you again restore Israel to its prominence? He goes, it's not for your generation. No, the time sees God put under authority power. You receive the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, speaking of David sitting on the throne of David, Christ descended upon David's throne. This was fulfilled at His resurrection. How could He sit on David's throne? That was an earthly throne. God reassigned it into the heavens. He took the whole throne and He took it up into the heavens. But He's got to return it because He said upon the house of David, there'll be no end. He'll rule from it in the earth. He has to bring the crown, the throne back into the earth. That's us. Say, that's us. That's our word. That's everything to us. That's our constitution. Shaka! The house of David will return into the earth. The church will receive it. He that has the key will open the door. Say, open the door. I'm repeating all this because these words are about to be fulfilled in our very eyes. He that has the key will open and no man will shut. That was Zechariah's original prophecy. Zechariah 6, take the priesthood, put him on a throne, enthrone him, a royal priesthood, the king priest government. You see it in Melchizedek. You see it with Christ. And you'll see it in our generation. The royal priesthood will rise. We have to be crowned in this hour. A glorious outpouring flowing out. It was symbolic of men to come. Zechariah 6. We are that generation that will receive it. So that generation was prophesied. Those were the people under captivity that came out. He prophesied to them. Once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth. Your house will be greater than Solomon's. It didn't happen because he's speaking about us. We're in that time. As soon as Trump gets into office, Ezekiel 47's waters are going to flow. It'll be the church's time to come out. We needed a marker of 70 years. This is what Lance wanted. He was keying on this. He goes, I haven't seen that. And then God did it again. Say, God did it again. 2022. Because Isaiah had a prophecy. 2022, you've heard this. Ezekiel. So the gates were broken. Solomon's day. That survived 400 years. 8 different plunderings of that city. Over 400 years, the wealth was so incredible. Nebuchadnezzar finally took all what was left and he burned the city to the ground. What did he do with the wealth? He put it under vaults in where? Babylon. Put it in vaults, right? What did he say? All the treasure. And then the children of Israel were taken captive and they were made to serve in Babylon with their all the temple wealth and the treasures of the nations sitting right up underneath them. They walked on it every single day. While they were in captivity, their wealth was right there with them. But something else happened. Aha, the gates of Jerusalem are broken. Now I'm being replenished. And speaking of this city called Tyre, say Tyre. And the God started honing me in on this thing with Tyre. So Ezekiel 26, 27, 28 was a prophecy about the ruin or destruction of Tyre. God was upset because they were boasting in the fact that they were being replenished with all of Solomon's wealth. All of Solomon's wealth rolled into a place called Tyre. Where Solomon was the merchandise and mart of the nations, where he ran the global wealth machine, when that was broken, all of it came to Tyre. Isaiah 23 said, you're a mart of nations, a trading mart of all nations. In fact, it talks about Ezekiel here, about a ship in Ezekiel 27. If you don't know how to read it, it talks about a ship that's adorned with all of these things, wood, spice, and all this, and it's sailing into the deep, and it's going to be broken. It was talking about the trading mart. It was an allegory about the trading markets that were going to be broken because it became the greatest trading market of that era and time. And then I go to Ezekiel 28, and I find out who's running this thing. Who was running Tyre? Because all of Solomon's wealth, 400 years, and we traced all that, it's in our constitution, all of that went into Tyre. This is extremely important to understand what's about to happen. All of that came into a place called Tyre. Tyre became the Jerusalem, but it wasn't God running it. It was the devil running it. In Ezekiel 28, just go there for a minute in your Bible. We'll see who's running this thing. You can study this later. But Ezekiel 28, let's see who's running this. Son of man, verse 12. Take a lamentation upon the king of Tyre. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord. Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom. Tell me who you think this is. Perfect in beauty. You've been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. It lists all the stones. The workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee, in the day you were created. You know, he was the worship leader as Lucifer. Do you know that? The devil was the worship leader before he got cast out. You're the anointed cherub that covereth. I set thee so that was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. They were perfect in all thy ways to the day you were created, till iniquity was found in thee. And he talked about his corruption, describing the devil himself as the king of Tyre. And so the God asked me a question one day. He just spoke it to me 30-something years ago. Why would the devil and all his pomp and glory call himself the king of a city they spread fishnets upon when he boasts to be the God of this world system? I'll never forget when he did that. It's like when God speaks, he's so forceful sometimes. Then he started opening these scriptures up. And I started seeing that Tyre, when Solomon fell, the devil took advantage of it. And all that wealth in the trading market was accumulated in a place called Tyre. And he came and sat down on it himself. And said, I'm king of all this. I'm king of the earth's wealth. I'm king of the trading markets. I'm king of mammon. That's what he was doing. And we've never seen another day like that. Except for the day that's about to show up in the earth. Being controlled. You remember Jesus in the garden? So became the merchandising mart of the nations. Why did he call himself the king of the city? Why did the devil come and sit down on that? He was sitting down. Oh, when the Lord was in the garden. Remember when he was taken in his day of temptation? The Bible says he took him to exceeding great mountain. The devil took Jesus, showed him all the nations and what? The glory of them. Because all this is mine. Because I own all this. The Lord didn't argue with him because he really didn't own it, but the Lord had to take it back because all that was given to Adam. Whenever God gives something, the devil, if he steals it, he calls it his. All of that system, the glory of nations, came from Solomon's day. He took over the reins. He took over the trading. He took over mammon. He took over the money. He said, all this is mine now. I'll give it to you. That's why he gives it to these people. If you really listen to a lot of these artists, they'll come out and tell you. They all sign covenants. If you listen to them. Bob Dylan, I was watching something the other day. He goes, yeah, I made a deal. I have to. One song, why are you still going so strong? He goes, I made a deal. He just said, I made a deal with the devil. And the guy goes, literally? He goes, literally. He goes, I have to fulfill my end of the bargain. But he's given me everything I ever wanted. He just said it out in front of everybody.
One of his songs actually says, you will serve somebody. You may serve the Lord or you may serve the devil.
Yes. So these people sell out because the devil can give them instantaneous riches. They're given unfathomable riches because the enemy will do that. But so will God. Because God's stuff is in the heavenlies. You got to learn how to get it. Amen. Why did the Lord do that? Why did the Lord put everything up in riches and glory? Why did he put the house of David? Because he didn't want the devil tampering with it. He put all our inheritance in the right hand of God. But you're going to see the day where he's going to open the rivers of Zion. It's bringing it all back into the earth. So we see the devil as the king of Tyre, ruling over the nations. Watch this. Go to Isaiah 23. I'm going to tell you what's next. Because Haggai chapter 2 and Isaiah 23 are the same event. And you are about to witness it and watch it unfold. I'm sharing it with you now. So when you watch this unfold before your very eyes, you're going to know you're seeing biblical prophecy. It's not in the going to happen anymore. It is happening. That is huge. Because Cyrus has come in, we're coming out. And this is what we're looking forward to the crowning. We're looking forward to Haggai 2. We're looking forward to Zechariah 4. We're looking forward to the run of the white horse, Zechariah 10. Nobody sees that! It's awesome! The glorious run! All this stuff's gonna unfold! One thing after another, after another, after another! A lot of it's gonna unfold in the year 2000. 25. 25 is 7. Double portion of the 7. The 7 spirits of God. It's a perfect, perfect, perfect time. Everything's going to align. Now watch this. Have I lost some of you? That's all right. We'll find you. If you're lost, you'll be found. Praise God. Now Isaiah 23, this whole chapter is about Tyre. Talking about a merchandising mart of the nations. Verse 3. You're by the great waters. The seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river is her revenue. She is a mart of nations. And it talks all about that. But then it talks about God is going to judge Tyre now. Now you have to understand that Nebuchadnezzar, here, I'm going to give you a little bit of history. Come up here. You're reading the chapter. Nebuchadnezzar, when he took children of Israel, and he took all the temple furnishings that were left, He also, God said in Ezekiel 26, I'm going to bring Nebuchadnezzar against you, Tyre. Not only did he come against Jerusalem, he came to Tyre and he invaded Tyre. He didn't fulfill his whole purpose, but Alexander Great did come in and finally build a cause. Why? But all the wealth of Tyre came into where? Babylon. All the wealth of the house of David was sitting in vaulted treasures in Babylon. That's important because Isaiah 45, speaking of Cyrus, I'm going to give you the treasures of nations and the hidden riches in the vaulted places. Say hidden riches in the vaulted places. He goes, you don't know me, but you'll get to know me. Just like Trump didn't really know the Lord, but this time around, he knows the Lord. When that bullet grazed his ear, he said, God saved me. He goes, I'm here because God saved me. He knew who saved him. Righteous people in authority. This is such good news. It's amazing. But more importantly is the church's turns next. Everything you're doing, watch what he's going to do with the church. Because right here, there's a prophecy. I told you in the beginning. Watch this. Living waters came what? Out of the temple. Isaiah, I mean, even Lance said that. Ezekiel 47's waters is the great revival. The waters come out to the Dead Sea. They also come out to where? The Great Sea or the Sea of Commerce. Whose kingdom is set on the Sea of Commerce? Tyre. It's set right up north of Jerusalem and it's set up there and it sits on the Mediterranean. Your harvest of the waters is your revenue. You sit upon the waters and God said, you're coming down. Because these waters are going to come right and flood and these waters are going to override. The whole system of mammon's coming down. The control mechanisms, people have no idea. The people who control the global wealth, what they've been doing with money. Unbelievable control. All that is breaking and shattering. The righteous is going to be in control of the economy. Listen, what happens here, the whole world's watching. Their whole world's watching. I mean, first day Trump was elected, Iran starts announcing, our war's over. Hezbollah, Hamas, our war's over. We formally quit. Because they know the hammer will come down. They know it'll come down. They say, we're not at war anymore. We're your friend. So it talks about the judgment of Tyre. God is going to judge the king of Tyre in this hour. He's going to do it with his church. The waters are going to flow right over him. He's going to judge. Are you ready? Verse 15. It shall come to pass in that day. I'll tell you the day we're living in. He already confirmed this is the hour that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years according to the days of what? One king. So here he's linking Tyre with the captivity of 70 years. At the end of the 70 years, Tyre will sing as a harlot. She'll sing many songs. She'll go about the city, make sweet melody before I get to the next verse. This is where I'll close too. In 2022, something happened that we did not see. A kingdom, a crown lasted for exactly 70 years. You can even find in history someone who reigned to the specific date of 70 years. Queen Elizabeth passed. She lived to 94. She reigned on a throne for 70 years. Say 70 years. That was not a coincidence. According to the days of one king or kingdom. That was another major earmark of the time was at hand for this prophecy to be fulfilled. Now, Trump comes in. He had to come back, my friends. To see the global thing God's going to do, he had to come in office. And now it's all set. Say the stage is set. For what? What's next? This is Haggai 2. These two verses are the same event. Verse 17, it shall come to pass at the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre. The Lord's going to visit the devil. Can you imagine the Lord foreseeing the day when the devil took him up to the kingdoms? He goes, you just wait. The day of the Lord's like 1,000 years. It's two more days and you're coming down. 2,000 something years later, this is not yours. The Lord's going to invade. Say, the Lord's going to invade Tyre. When he says Tyre, he's talking about the one in Ezekiel 28. The devil that's sitting over the global mammon system. The God's about to crack that thing. Shatter it in pieces. Dismantle it. Who's it going to? Right here. And she shall turn to her hire. She will commit fornications with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. There's never been a time in history that all the financial systems interlocked, interwoven. I was with a friend one time. This guy has clearance. Let's say clearance. I went into his place one time. I didn't know him very well. And he pulled out remember the days of Scantron sheets in school? Where they put that little Scantron and put it on the wall. He had two Scantron sheets, and this was like 10 years ago. The first one had every corporation linked globally. The whole world was linked on one page and how they linked. I'd never seen anything like it. I said, can I take a picture? He goes, no, you may not. He goes, this kind of, and then the next one had all the banking. He linked. From the Treasury to all the banking houses of the world, the Federal Reserve and all the central bank, IMF, all of them were interlinked and all the way down to state levels. I mean, it had thousands and thousands and thousands of names in a single page. I'm like, who could possibly know to do this? I was looking at Tyre. The whole financial system interlinked. She said she would commit financial fornication with all the kingdoms of the world. The Lord would visit. Say, the Lord would visit. Watch this. Ready? At the end of 70 years. Say, at the end. It's already happened. It was confirmed twice in our generation. The Tyre would commit financial fornication. When you have to understand when the Bible says fornication, it's financial. It's global enterprise. Watch this. Ready? Verse 18. This is our verse. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. That sounds like church. That sounds like ecclesia. It shall not be treasured or laid up or stolen anymore. Her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord. Say, dwell. Dwell before, and eat sufficiently durable clothing. That wealth transference is the Haggai chapter 2. The prophecies that were not fulfilled in that hour. We are at an at-hand position now. Everyone's saying, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Because we're in the time of the explosive revival that will not only be a river of life to the world, but he's going to dethrone the king of Tyre in this hour. You're going to watch it be dethroned before your very eyes. For the wise people that are positioned properly, you're going to be a part of the greatest wealth transference in human history. It's going before those who dwell before the Lord. He's going to see that his church is positioned for this thing. We're in the hour. We're in the time. I haven't worn this shirt forever, but it's like God said, put it on. It's got a crown on the back of it. It's time for the crown. Wear it. Understand the time of the church. He that has the key to the house of David. All of that generational wealth. Been sitting up in heaven multiplying. It's going to get unlocked and released into the earth. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.